Yesterday we were looking at Genesis chapter 24, and I was looking at this and just kind of sharing with you that the story is basically about Abraham's son Isaac. Isaac is just going through a real time of struggle. His mother, Abraham's wife, just passed away. And while Isaac's going through that struggle, Abraham pulls his servant. And it says in verse number 2 of chapter 24, "And Abraham said to the eldest servant of his house, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh." And then he goes on to ask Eleazar, to ask this man who is his most trusted servant, the one who is entrusted his entire house, all of his belongings, everything he has. This man, Eleazar of Damascus, he rules over everything that Abraham has. So he trusts this man. This is his servant, and he trusts him. And all of chapter 24, and as I said, it's a long chapter. It's 67 verses long. And the entirety of this chapter is basically this servant, and it's showing us how the servant acts and how the servant is with his master, Abraham. And it shows us, if you will, it shows us the model of a servant. For you and I, our lives are not our own. Our lives belong to Jesus Christ because he has bought them with a price, the price of his blood, a very high cost. So our lives are not our own. They belong to him. Now, that's not captivity. That is liberty and freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. When we give our lives, it doesn't make sense in the natural, but that's the way the Word of God always is. The things that make sense in the natural are just foolishness. Foolishness to God. So as we are looking through this Genesis chapter 24, as we see this, it's showing us the model through the servant, because this is the servant's story, the servant's example of how he served his master. It shows us how you and I, as servants of Jesus Christ, how we serve him, of the attitude we should have. It shows us the promises and the faithfulness of God to the servant when the servant is obedient and has his heart focused on the master. There's just so many encouraging and strengthening things as we read through this. And as I had said yesterday, just looking through this in a very cursory fashion yesterday, I found 17 different things, just by a quick glance, 17 different things that show us what we should be as a servant. So Genesis chapter 24, it shows us the model of servanthood to Jesus Christ. Now, we looked yesterday at the first one. It came from verse number 2. We also see it in verse number 10. But the one who is a servant is faithful and is trustworthy. And Abraham said to the eldest servant, Eleazar of Damascus, who ruled over all that he had, I beg of you, put your hand under my thigh. So this is a man that he's dependable and he's trustworthy. He's earned the trust of the master. Because he's been dependable in all things, he's earned the trust to the degree that he is in charge of all things in Abraham's house. Now we get on to verse number 10. And the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking some of his animals and treasures with him. And he journeyed to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor, which is Abraham's brother. So in verse number 10, again, we see that this is a man who is dependable. So the first point that we saw in servanthood is to understand, we talked about this yesterday, that we are merely stewards. And the more that we understand that all that we have, we're just stewards over, from our life to our possessions, to our money, to our jobs, to our families, we're just merely stewards. They don't belong to us, even as we don't belong to ourselves. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. We're stewards. And as we understand that, and the freedom and the liberty that comes with that, and the blessing and the favor that comes with that, the more that I understand that I'm a steward, the more that I treat the things that I have with care and obedience as unto him who is my Lord and Master, the more that I do that, the more he entrusts to me. And we see here that this same example, this same servant of Abraham's, we see in verse number 10, as he left to go fulfill the will that Abraham had, which was for the servant to go find, to go back to his original country and find a wife for his son, so that Isaac, who was needing a wife, wouldn't marry a Canaanite, which is where Abraham had come into, which was the promised land that God had given him. He didn't want his son marrying a Canaanite. He wanted his son marrying his own people. So he sends the servant to go find a wife for his son Isaac. And in verse number 10, the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking some of all of his master's treasures with him. He's entrusted to everything. He can take what he needs, take what he wants to fulfill the things that the master has said. He has direct access to all that the master has. Why? Because he's proven himself dependable and trustworthy. So that's point number one. Point number two is, And this is, again, this is the model example of a servant. And this is the example that you and I should consider as we go through our lives, we go through our daily lives. Today, you should consider, am I being the servant to God that He's called me to be? Here's the second example that we see. In verse number 12, go down a few verses from where we just were. And he said, so he's made his way to Mesopotamia. And as he's there, he arrives and he said, O Lord, God, my master Abraham, O Lord God of my master Abraham, that makes more sense, I pray you, cause me to meet with good success today and to show kindness to my master Abraham. There's many things we can see just from that, but the one point I want to draw out of this for right now in verse number 12 is the model servant is one who is seeking God, seeking God's guidance and wisdom, seeking God's favor and not his own favor and not man's favor. He's not looking for the resources of man, and he's not looking for man to meet his needs. He's looking to God. He's spending time in prayer. He is seeking God and spending time in prayer. If we want to be the servants of God, the successful servants of God. Again, remember, this model prayer, we're seeing the characteristics and the nature and the attitudes that this man has as the servant of the master. And this is the servant who was entrusted with everything. Do we want to place ourselves in the position where we can be trusted by Jesus Christ? We can be trusted by the Father with everything? Because we can put ourselves in that position where we're entrusted with everything that he has. This is why the Bible tells us that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that we are seated with him in the heavenly places. It's all available to us, but we have to bring ourselves to that position, to that place of being that servant that is dependable and trustworthy, that servant that is the model servant. In the example we see here in verse number 12, that model servant is praying, is seeking God, is seeking him. Daily we should be seeking the wisdom of God. Daily we should just be seeking the face of God. And beyond the wisdom, which comes along with it, we should just be seeking to be with God as this servant was. So the first point is, the model servant is dependable and trustworthy, and because of that, he's entrusted with all things. The second thing is, and this is the example we see from the model servant, he's a praying servant. He seeks his master. He seeks the Lord for guidance. He just seeks to be with the Lord. Here's the third thing. The third thing that the model servant shows us from Genesis chapter 24. Priorities. He's not thinking of himself. We see this model servant, and he's not thinking about himself and his own needs until he has accomplished those things which have been set before him. He puts the priorities of the Lord, of his master. He puts the priorities of his master ahead of his own priorities, his own needs, the own things that he would want. And we see this exemplified if you'd move all the way down. Again, you can see this conceptually throughout this entire chapter. But we really see it poignantly in verse number 33. Let's go back to verse number 32. What's taking place? He's already met the woman that's going to be Isaac's wife. He's spoken with her. He's laid out this challenge before God. God has shown that this is the one. Her name is Rebecca. He has gone and he's met with the family, the brother and the father. And in verse number 32, he's come to the house, and the brother of Rebecca, Laban, has taken care of his camels and taken care of his, he's invited him into the house. And then in verse number 33, it says, a meal was set before him. So he's at the house of the family of the woman that is going to become the wife of Isaac. He's there in the family. They're taking care of his needs. And as he's there, they set a meal before him. And it says, but he said, I will not eat until I've told of my errand. And Laban said, speak on. So they set a meal before him, but he's not thinking about his own needs. He's not thinking about his own comfort. The most paramount thing in his mind, the thing that has to be addressed, that must be taken care of by the model servant, the thing that is paramount in his mind is making sure that he's expressed that he's moving forward with the task, the assignment that's been given to him. Completing the work that God has done, that has been set by him, by his master. For you and I, it's completing the work that God has established for us. Before I take care of my own needs today, I need to be aware of what are the things that God has laid before me. And I'm about the task that he's given me. That I make his priorities my priorities. The reality is most of us live our lives today. We're making our priorities our priorities. Those things that are important to me, that's where I'm going to give my priority. The things that I feel have to be addressed, those are the things I'm going to take care of. And too often those things are things that are to my advantage, to my benefit, or to my comfort. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Look, God provided for this model servant to not only find the woman, but to have favor with the family, and they're taking care of his animals, and they're preparing his food. God has prepared, all of his needs are taken care of. But what he's saying is, I'm not going to have my needs taken care of until I've dealt with the priorities of my master. The model servant is demonstrating to us to have the priorities of God, make his priorities my priorities. If I want to be one that is just like this servant, and this is a servant that the master entrusted everything that he had to him, if I want to be the one, if I want to be one of those, and you can be also, one that God can entrust everything to, this is the example that I have to follow. This is the example that's set out before me. This should be my attitude in all things. Every one of us can have. God has set aside and established everything that we need. He wants to entrust everything to you. But I have to show and to demonstrate to God that I'm dependable and trustworthy. I have to show him by spending time with him. I have to show him by demonstrating that I'm making his priorities my priorities, not the other way around. Here's the fourth thing we see from the model servant. As you go through the entirety of chapter 24 of Genesis, you never see Eleazar. You know, we're identified. I'm reading this from the Amplified Bible, and it's identifying who he is. But you never see him at any time identifying himself. He never speaks his own name, but he always speaks about Abraham as master. And he always speaks his master's name. And he always refers to himself as his master's servant. We live in a very I-me-minded society and culture. And we're trained and taught to think about ourselves and think of self first. The model servant doesn't think about himself at all. He never even mentions his name. And when it would be seemingly important or proper for you and I, if we're in his place, to mention who we are in our name, he never refers to himself at all, but he refers to himself not by his name, but always as Abraham's servant. Let's look at some examples of that. Verse number 34, we just read verse number 33. Go down one verse. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. He's not saying, listen, I am Todd, and this is what Todd wants. He identifies himself as Abraham's servant. Too many times, I find that my identity is myself. My identity is me. My identity should be who I am in Jesus Christ. My identity should be through that relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. That is who my true identity is. And that's where I really realize who I am, the fullness of who I am. The model servant doesn't identify himself just solely through himself and through his own life and through his own vision of who he is. But he identifies himself through his master. We see the same thing go down to verse number 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son, and my master, when she was old, and unto him he has given all that he has. Talking about Isaac. But again, you see here the model servant is referring to himself through the eyes of his master and his master's life. Verse number 37, and my master made me swear, saying, you must not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. So again, where he would be, you and I would say, well, you know, I am supposed to do this. I, Todd, am supposed to do this. He's saying, listen, my master has said this. He views himself as who he is through his master. I need to view myself as to who I am through my master, through my Lord, through Jesus Christ. So just a quick review of the four things. Again, this is Genesis chapter 24, and this is the servant of Abraham. And the servant of Abraham has given us just a number. He shows us through the entirety of this chapter the attitude, the actions, and the heart of one who is a servant, because he was the servant that the master had entrusted everything, his entire house to. All that he had, he entrusted to the servant. If you and I want to be ones that God can entrust all that he has to, we can learn and follow the example of this servant, Eleazar of Damascus. And it shows us how we can view ourselves as servants of Jesus Christ, stewards over all that he has. And the more we understand that and follow in this example, the more that Jesus Christ can entrust to you and I. I want him to trust me with more. How about you? It's Genesis chapter 24. Read through that. We'll look at some more of those examples